Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Guest preaching today is Chaplain Ben Quintanilla. Now, let's get into the Word.
Before I get started, we're just living in a very unique time in the nation. We brought home six of our fallen soldiers, and many of us serve that mission. Many of us serve on the mission on base. Our airmen are busy. Our soldiers are busy. And so I want us just to keep in mind that we have a connection here to Dover Air Force Base and very important missions that are happening. So let's continue to pray for our families. We have members in our congregation that are deployed, and their spouses and their children are here. And so reach out to them, see how they're doing, check in on them, right? So let's do those things. We have people right now this morning that are taking care of those fallen soldiers. Let's pray for them as even they work this morning and throughout the day to make sure that we honor our fallen. And then we have airmen just flying missions and taking care of maintaining our aircrafts and all that we need to be able to do what our nation is asking of us to do in this season. So I want to stop and pray for that, and pray for our base, and pray for our military people who are overseas right now. And we're going to not just pray for them, but we're going to pray for our families here, right? Because my wife has experienced it, where I was in a very dangerous place in Afghanistan and just not knowing what's going on, right? Just living with an uncertainty, is my spouse safe? And so let's pray for our families, of our military. Our pastor is currently serving right over with the Delaware Guard, so he's out on drill this weekend, and I know they got things going on. So let's just pray for everything going on in our nation before we get into the Word of God. Let's do that. God, I just want to stop for a second and just acknowledge that we understand that you are doing something in the world. God, that you are allowing things to occur. And while we don't always know the end result, and while we don't always know the why, Father, we believe that you are a good God, that you are a good Father, and that you have good intent for us, Lord. And that at the end, we win. For those of us in Christ Jesus, we win, Father. So we thank you for that. But I want to stop and just pray for everybody who's just been working a little bit harder, for everybody's stress levels who have just been increased more than usual, for everybody's workload and home life that is being affected because of what we're being called to do as a nation, I pray that you would bring a grace, hallelujah, God. Just bring a grace that's miraculous and that helps us to do the hard things, that you would make the hard things easy, is what I'm asking, Lord. That you would make the difficult nights light, Father. That you would take the tears and the thoughts of fear and turn them into moments of joy, moments of understanding, moments of us gathering and coming closer to you, Father. That you would be with these families that we just received as they go through the next steps of honoring their loved ones through memorial services and funeral services. And we pray today for all of our service members that are in harm's way, that you would put a hedge of protection around them, God. We hear about something, this term, the Iron Dome, Lord. Why thank you that there's an Iron Dome. There's a greater dome that stands above the Iron Dome, and it's your protection, Father. And so I pray for that, for our soldiers, for our airmen, for all of our service members, wherever they're at, God. And we just pray that that there'd be overwhelming safety, God, where there might have been a mistake or an accident, God, that we would see your hand come through in those moments of mistakes and accidents, Lord. Ultimately, we just stand in the gap today and intercede on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our leaders, God, and that you would use us, that you would use us, that you would use Purpose Church. I heard it in my spirit this morning that this church would be a beacon of hope, God, a light to the world, Father. And I just thank you that we get to be a part of it. If you believe that, can you say amen and give God a hand of praise this morning? Wow, I am thrilled to be with you. Here, I got to be transparent and vulnerable with you guys. Thank you for those of you that are with us for the first time. We honor your presence. Thank you for joining us today. We love having you. On behalf of our pastor, Pastor Will Guy, he's again on orders this on drill weekend, but we welcome you today. And his wife is here with us. I call her the first lady. She doesn't like it, but she's here with us today. And so we're just so grateful for them and that they answered the call of God to start and plant this church. And so it has been a crazy week. And some days you come to church and you're filled with power and you're filled with excitement and you're just ready. And other days you show up to church and you just say, God, I just thank you that I made it today, right? And in full transparency, your preacher shouldn't be telling you this, but for me, it was one of those Sundays where I just said, God, I'm just glad that I get to be here. And God, I just put myself in your hands today and that my words would be your words for the congregation. And so that's where I'm at today. I wanted to preach a message called Jesus, the Resurrection in the Life. But last minute, I just felt like I don't think I can give it the time that it needs and that it requires. So I'm going with a message that I preached last week at the chapel, and it's called The Cross Speaks. The Cross Speaks. And so just... bear with me, be gracious with me today as we go through this sermon. But I want to kick it off with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God," right? The message for today is called The Cross Speaks. And I just want to stop in this introduction here and look at this message. Look at this scripture that says, "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the voice of God. It is the words of God." I teach a lot about grief. I teach a lot about how we experience and go through life transitions as a chaplain. And so one of the ways that I teach that, and one of the things that I often ask people is how do you experience life? How do you live and experience the life that God has called you to live? I want you to think about that for just a quick second. How is it that you experience life? And if I could try and get into your mind right now, I'm not, I can't do that, but if I could just guess some things, maybe some of you went really deep, right? You went really philosophical. Maybe others of you went to a life quote that you live by, right? You have some ethos in your life that you just use and you say all the time. And so like I always tell my daughters, you know, the Q girls aren't quitters. You know, we don't quit. That's something that's ingrained into us. Life's going to get hard, but you don't quit, girls, right? And we drill that in. And Q girls are winners, right? You are a winner. We live by that. And maybe some of you took it theologically. You went deep into theology and into scripture. And I love that. But really all I'm looking for when I ask, how do you experience life, is very rudimentary, elementary. The five senses. The five senses. And when we see this and see that the cross speaks, or that the cross has power, it brings us back to when we see hearing the cross still speaks. We're saying that salvation is still available for all who repent. The cross speaks is that salvation is available to all. The cross speaks that redemption is here for the greatest of sinners. It doesn't matter what you did last night. If you come to the cross of Jesus, there is a power behind it. The cross speaks, says that there's reconciliation for relationship between you and God, but relationship between you and I. The relationships that we live out every day, the relationship with that cousin that you don't speak to anymore, or that friend that you don't speak to anymore, or that person that you divorce that you hate. There's reconciliation as the cross speaks. It's foolish. It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who believe there's power behind it. Because we cannot do it within ourselves, but we can do it through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? It means that there's healing for our bodies and our minds, that we don't have to live with depression and anxiety and nervousness. It means that God can give us a peace of mind and a peace of heart. It means that there's victory over sin and death. So those who died in Christ Jesus will be resurrected one day, and we will all be caught up in the heavens. That's what the power of the cross says. There's victory over death and sin. And it says that heaven is our forever home. Heaven is our forever home. I've been to very nice places in this world. My family and I love going to Cancun, sitting on the beach, those turquoise waters. Oh, but there is nothing that compares to heaven being our home. For some of us who have lost people who are now in heaven, we can't wait to get to heaven to go see them and be reunited with our loved ones. I can't wait to go see mom. That's what it means when the cross speaks. There is a power behind the cross. It's not just a symbol. It's more than a symbol. It's not just something that we hang on the walls. There's more than just something we hang on the wall. It is a power of God unto salvation. So when we say the cross speaks, we say, what we're really saying is that the cross comes with the power of Christ Jesus. Let's go on now as we read a little bit more. That was our introductory scripture. Now I want to read our passage of scripture that we're going to take a little bit more of a deep dive into and then tie it back to this first scripture that we just talked about. Luke chapter 23:38 reads as follows, "And an inscription was also written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew." And this is what it says. "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, why don't you save yourself?" But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation as he is? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man who's hanging with us has done nothing wrong." So just in case you don't get the picture yet, Christ is hanging on the cross with the two thieves by his side. And they're having a conversation about Christ being the Christ. 42. "Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Surely I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise.'" Let's slow down and go back to verse 38. It says, "And an inscription also was written over him in the letters Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. If you're taking notes and if you're a note taker and you need points in your sermon so that you could follow along, point number one is mocked but not muzzled. He was mocked but not muzzled. This is important. The term to be mocked means to taunt, to ridicule, to demean, to be proven wrong, to be made a caricature of. Have you ever been to the theme park? And as you're walking into the theme park, you see those people sitting with that white canvas, with that black chalk, and they're ready to make a caricature of you. I hate those things. Because they take your worst attributes and they enlarge them. They would take my ears and make them giant. They would take my nose and expand it. I hate those things. To make a caricature of, to defraud, to change, to mock, or to discredit. Here goes, because if you can discredit him, then you can silence him. If we can discredit Jesus Christ on the cross, then he can be silenced, and the cross doesn't have a voice anymore. So we'll muzzle his words through mocking him. But little did they know that you can't muzzle the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that he really was the King of all. To discredit. Not only do we want to discredit him, do we want to defame him, do we want to blaspheme him, it's written in three languages, the Greek, the Latin, and the Hebrew, as to say that this mockery of Christ would be a global mockery, not only a national mockery. But just in case you don't read Greek, I'll write it out for you in Greek. And just in case you don't read Latin, I'll also let you know what it says in Latin. And if you only speak Hebrew, we'll write it out in Hebrew so that everybody, the whole world, would know that this man was being mocked. Christ, our King. Christ, our King. It was a global mockery. And now can we bring this home to what we see today? Because Christ being mocked on the cross doesn't only happen at the cross. The same mockery happens to us today. We saw it when they started to take public prayer out of our places of worship. We see it when that coach wants to kneel at the football field with his players and they try and get him to stop. We see the mockery today in this world. We see it as we call things, the things that are right, wrong, and the things that are wrong, right. We see it in the manipulation of the image of God upon our lives. That's why sometimes we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see less than when we should be seeing more than. It's the manipulation of the image of God upon our life. It is a mockery of me. And the reason Satan wants to try and mock me is not because of who I am or because of who you are, but because of the God that lives within you. You see, because if we can mess up, if we can fail, if we can feel like we're less than we can't shine the light of Jesus Christ to the world. The other day, let me see who's in here. Just got to make sure nobody that I work with is in here. We'll edit that out of the recording too. I'm gonna tell a little fib about the time of when this happened 5 years ago when I was at work. I walked into our break room. And as I go in there, there's a conversation happening. And as that conversation is happening, I join in on the conversation. And as I join in on the conversation, there's somebody in that break room who is just not a very happy person. You know, those people at work that like to always poke you and stir things up, negative Nancy's, right? Always something wrong. And, you know, we have some of those people at work 5 years ago. And so this person wants to begin to engage in a conversation with me, making accusations that are totally false accusations. Oh, and everything in me wanted to stand there and debate and argue and prove what was wrong. But if I do that, there is other people in the room that would say, "Chaplain? And I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit, because I knew what was happening. Somebody's learning something, because this happens at your work too. We all have that person. Amen. They may be sitting next to you today. I don't know. It happens at home too. Right? We all have that child that just knows how to do it. Go, we're preaching. We're together. I like it. And I walked out. I stopped myself, and internally I said, "Not today, Satan," and I walked out. Hear me. Some of us are having conversations in our mind about other people and what they did to you and how they harmed you, and it's time for you to say, "Not today, Satan." Amen, because... you see, because if they can get you off, then they can discredit the Christ that lives in you. And that's what that was about. It wasn't about Ben going toe-to-toe with this elder at work. No, it had nothing to do with that. It was about, can I discredit that chaplain? Because if I can discredit him, I can discredit the words of God that he speaks. Mocked, but not muzzled. See, because we fight differently. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of the dark ages. We come at these things differently. That song that I love, and I might have shared this before, but "This Is How I Fight My Battles." I love that song because we fight our battles with the words of God. Because he's been tested. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of God will never. His word's been tested. Your words and my words haven't. Our words fail us. Some of us in here still going through some good sanctification process in our life. Some of the times we drop some bombs, right, that we're not supposed to. Those words been tested. They fail. I love it. I feel good today. I feel free. Not today, Satan. Not today. We can't let Satan use others to manipulate what's going on in our minds and in our hearts and to have power over us. We must have sound minds, Scripture says. I'm slowing down for a little bit because I just know that some of us just wrestle with this as we have sleepless nights just thinking about conversations and fights that we've had with other people. And I just want you to just maybe there's something going on here where they're trying to make a mockery of who you are in the image of Christ. Who you are as a daughter of Christ, who you are as the Son of God. the image of God. That's who you represent. And don't let that be blasphemed. Don't let that be made a caricature of. No, no. You walk into the room and you walk in humility, but with some confidence saying, do you know who my daddy is? Hallelujah. Is anybody being set free with this today? This is good. I feel the Holy Spirit in this. This is not what I planned. Can go on and see how the world and Satan wants to manipulate things in our hearts and our minds and in this world. But let's finish today and let's say today, not today, Satan, for the cross still has its power. Let's go on. Then one of the criminals who was hanging by Christ began to blaspheme him, saying, if you are the Christ, why don't you save yourself and us? Now, time out, dude. First of all, you're blaspheming me and you want me to save you? Something's up. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the reward of our deeds. But this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. So now we have the Christ hanging with the criminals. The word to blaspheme means to show contempt, to show an irreverence, slandering him, to slander his name, to slander his character, to slander the sacredness of who he is, to insult his authority. And the works that he had done. That's what blasphemy means. But I was drawn to these words here that says, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. If you, where else do we see this in Scripture? Come on, you good Bible readers. Where else do we see this in Scripture? This language here. Satan. We see it in Matthew 4, chapter 1 through 11, as Jesus has just come out of a 40-day fast, and Satan comes and starts to begin to tempt him. And the first temptation that he gave him was one of materialism and an appetite. And he says, Satan tells the hungry Jesus to turn the stones into bread. And what does Jesus say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He does it again, a second time. Now he's going to test his pride. And he says, Satan says to Jesus, can't you throw yourself off of the pinnacle of this cliff? And won't the angels rescue you? And what does Jesus say? He says again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. Yeah, I can jump off. But why would I do that? I don't need to test God on this. And then the last temptation that he says is, Satan shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, and he offers them to him if he says, if you just fall down and worship me. The third temptation of power and idolatry. And Jesus says, not today, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Where's the connection to the voice of the cross here? That Jesus always sends us back to what is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. When you walk through sickness and disease, it is written that by his stripes you are healed. when you walk through lack and need, it is written that he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. It is written when you're in depression, when you're in anxiety, it is written that we have the mind of Christ. It is written. It is written that when we feel defeated and unloved and unwanted, that we are victorious in Christ Jesus. It is written when we feel like we're nobody, when we feel like we're the least of the, it is written that Jesus, as Joanna shared with me this morning, that Jesus left the 99 and he went for the one. It is written. The cross still speaks. He's having this conversation on the cross with these guys, and they're testing him and they're blaspheming him. And one of them says what he says. But then there's the other one. Then the second criminal said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This image of three crosses and three choices. Three crosses and three choices. The cross of redemption. That's the cross of Christ. The cross of rejection. That was the blaspheming criminal. And the cross of repentance. That is this criminal who says, "God, remember me. Remember me." Our generation, not my generation, I'm realizing that I'm an older generation now, and I'm not the young generation now. You all, new generation, you all do some unique things, very interesting things. Like this thing, I learned this the other day that you all do. What's this, the clack or the clock or the, yeah, right? Very unique. Go ahead. My generation had something called FOMO. Y'all know what FOMO is? The fear of missing out. We had that fear of missing out. And when I see this thief on the cross, I see someone who has a little bit of FOMO. And he's saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, "I know you. I know you don't belong here. I know what you're doing." See, these thieves have heard about Jesus. They knew who he was. They knew that he was the Messiah, the anointed one. I know you. And they were saying, "Lord, remember me. Don't let me miss out on the kingdom that you're building. Don't let me miss out on the benefits that come from being a part of your kingdom, God. Remember me." I have three siblings, and because I'm away a lot, because of the military lifestyle that many of us live, we're away from our siblings. But oftentimes I feel like when they get together and I'm away, I feel like I'm missing out. And I just want to tell them, "Hey guys, remember me. I don't want to miss out." So I'll shoot them a nice little text and just kind of stir the pot a little bit so they can remember they still have a brother in Delaware. Y'all do that too. Come on now. Remember me. And that's what this thief knew, something different about Christ Jesus. And he was saying, "Hey, can you remember me?" In a sense, he was saying, "I repent. He's blaspheming you, but I repent, God." He recognized that he was with Christ the King. He recognized his sin was habitual, and the only one who could bring him redemption was the God who was crucified by him. He recognized that somebody had to be punished for our sins, and that it was Jesus Christ in the middle cross being punished for our sins. I love that song that says, "And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross." Hallelujah. Sing it with me. "For here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether and altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to sing it, and I'll never know how much it, come on, think about that, to see my sin." Sing it louder, sing it increase. "And we'll never know how much it costs to see our sins upon that cross." But this guy knew that. This guy understood that. This guy understood that there was somebody who was supposed to receive this pain, and that he was receiving it on our behalf when he did not have to. He understood that. And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Paradise meaning going back to the Garden of Eden when everything was perfect, when everything was the original plan before man fell and sinned. Paradise meaning to be in communion, in compassion, in community with Jesus Christ. Paradise. The best way that I could describe that is that sign that we all so love that says, "Welcome home." Welcome home. Welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my daughter. I'll close with the imagery of the prodigal son. That after the prodigal son had left his father's home, that after the prodigal son had used up all of his father's wealth and his inheritance, that after the prodigal son had defamed the family name, that after the prodigal son had embarrassed his father and his mother, that after the prodigal son had done the worst of the worst, why don't we put our names in there, that after Benjamin Quintanilla had ran so far away from God, that after Ben Quintanilla had done some of the dumbest things in his life, that after Ben Quintanilla had done things that have shamed him and guilted him so much, that he was still able to run home to paradise, and that there was a loving father, that there was an amazing Christ that was there who said, "Come home, welcome home to paradise, son. And not only do I welcome you home, we're going to throw you the biggest party that we can ever have. We're going to invite everybody because we're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of what you've done. We're not ashamed of you. You're still my son. You're still my daughter. I still love you. I knew you were going to sin, but I still died for you," is what the cross speaks to us today. I love you. I love you. Paradise, welcome home. I've missed you so much. Let's bow our heads in prayer as I believe God works in our lives and in our hearts today. And I'll never know much it costs to see my sins. And I'll never know. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I thank you today. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I just feel to do this today. I don't do this all the time, but I do sense today. If you're saying, that's me, Chaplain Q, that's me. I need to come back home. I've done some things. There's been some blasphemy. There's been some discrediting of who I am in Christ. And man, I needed to hear this word today. And could just raise your hand. That's it. Just quickly raise your hand. You don't even have to keep it up. I just want to see you. I just want to know who you are. Jesus sees you. Thank you, guys. You can put your hands down. Man, I just want you to leave today knowing that there is no condemnation upon your life. Knowing that you don't serve a God who's has the rule book open and saying, you messed up here, you messed up here. No, that's not. You have a loving Father who's saying, welcome home. God, so I just pray today. I pray for us all. Oh, that we could run back to your arms. That we can run back to our home, the kingdom of God. God, that we can understand that the cross is the bridge that gets us back to you. And we're thankful for that. And I love you for that. God, and I just pray for this beautiful congregation, a beacon of hope. A light in the dark. A smile amidst the frowns. Help us to be that. Help us to be an extension of that today, Lord. And ultimately, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross when it should have been me. Thank you for the conversation that you allowed these two criminals to have. So that we could understand your love in an even greater way. Strengthen us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can you give God a hand this morning?
Thank you once again for listening to Chaplain Quintanilla's message. We hope it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. Join us next Sunday as Pastor Will returns. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.